prayer. Hosanna, number 7.
And oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Glory in the God your name.
May we pray. Our Father, it is a privilege to be able to call you Father, to be your children, to gather as a family of your children, to worship you in song and in prayer, in reading of your word. We're so grateful for this opportunity in a peaceful land to be able to strengthen our hearts, our minds, our conviction, to grow in faith, and continue to live lives that would glorify Thee. We're very grateful for the good things that You provide for us, more and in abundance than what we need. And we pray that we will always be good stewards of these things, willing to share and to help others with the good things You have provided for us. We're grateful, Father, for each other, for the fact that we can encourage each other and strengthen each other. We know that the evil one in the whole world who lies in the evil one is seeking to destroy our faith and destroy our souls. And so we gather tonight in the middle of this week to encourage each other to remain faithful, to stay on the path of righteousness, and to make our way in our journey back home to You. We ask that You would bless the leadership of this congregation, of Your people, the shepherds here, that they may continue to guide this flock in paths of righteousness in coming back home to You, to that wonderful country land, to that wonderful city, in that mansion that You have prepared for us. Bless us then and accept our worship this evening. We pray it'll be pleasing in Your sight, for we only seek to please You, to praise You, to glorify You, for unto You belongs all majesty and honor and power. We're grateful for Your Son, Jesus, not only for His sacrifice for our sin, but also for the fact that He will be both mediator and intercessor of this prayer. Bring it before Your throne that You might hear our requests, that You might answer them according to Your will, and we pray that You might accept our thanksgiving. Through His name we pray. Amen.
Tonight we've gathered here and we've come here to worship Jesus. And we're going to focus on Him this evening. not just like a, as we know him on a surface level, but how who he truly is. The title of this sermon, or sermon, title of this song service is Jesus Is. When we say Jesus is, it's more than just a title. It's a declaration of his identity, his character, his mission, and the way he changes everything. So in the next few minutes, we're going to look at some scripture and song related to the idea of Jesus is, different things that Jesus is and how he relates to us. Jesus is our God and creator. Jesus is man. Jesus is crucified. And Jesus is king. Those are the four aspects we're going to look at tonight. We'll start with Jesus is God and creator. Before there was light, before there was time, Jesus is. John 1 tells us that through him all things were made. We're going to read that in a minute. So when we see the vastness of the stars, the full moon tonight, it's a super moon, I'm told it's a beaver moon, whatever that means. When we look at the full moon, we look at the stars, the vastness of the universe, or even a single snowflake and see the beauty there, and we see his handiwork in that. He is the power behind creation, and he's the reason everything exists. So Jesus is God and creator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We look in Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Daniel's going to lead us some songs about the Creator.
First song we'll sing is out of the large songbook, number 5, How Great Thou Art. We'll only be singing the first two verses of this song.
No soul, O Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all. I hear the rolling thunder.
sing number 12 out of the supplement. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains cry, that spread the flowing seas across and built the lofty sky. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day, the moon shines full at its command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then
distant. John also tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite became finite. the all-powerful, became vulnerable. He took on our skin, walked our roads, felt our pain, and experienced life among us. He didn't just make us, he joined us. John 1, 14 and 15. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was set before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And in Hebrews chapter 2, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. David's going to lead us in a few songs about Jesus becoming man.
First song is number 0 in the large hymnal. Sing and rejoice.
Glory.
Next song is Emmanuel, God with Us, on the overhead only. Palace is number 447 in the Lord's hymnal, verses 1 and 2.
Jesus is crucified. You would think God coming to earth in the flesh would be something to be celebrated. And by a few, that happened. But this man was rejected. Isaiah says that he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He willingly suffered, carrying our sins on the cross, but through his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he is wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Jerry's going to lead us some songs about Jesus being crucified for our sins.
Number 580 in the large songbook, 10,000 Angels. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 in the chorus, then 3 and 4 in the chorus. And we will sing the verses slower than the chorus.
Thank you.
102 in the small songbook, and can it be? 102. Carried My Sorrows, number 671 in the large songbook.
Thank you.
and Jesus is King, the risen, exalted King that is sitting at the right hand of God. Paul reminds us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's not just the King we need. He's not just a King. He's the King of Kings. Philippians 2, after reading about him humbling himself and becoming a man, says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Revelation 19, we read a description of our King in poetic language. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I'm going to lead a few songs about Jesus being King and being exalted. Our first song is a new song that we've been learning in the new song class called Hero of Israel, Surely a King. This is new to a lot of you. I want to go over it really briefly. Jesus talked about how God in flesh ought to be something that's celebrated, but he ended up being rejected, A lot of that is because he wasn't the king that they were expecting. They were expecting a physical king who would come and throw off the shackles of the bondage of Rome, and they were going to restore the physical kingdom like it was in the days of David. And Jesus was not that kind of king. He was not a king seeking earthly glory in a physical way. And this song talks about how unexpected how his kingship was unexpected, put it that way. I want to go over the words really quickly for those who don't know this song. Surely a king would know that his best should be worn, clothed that his people might receive him well. You can picture a king in his royal garments so that people can recognize him for who he is. Yet lo, wrapped in suffering, is this one adorned as the hero of Israel. Surely a king in lavish grandeur would live, placed on a high and awesome throne to dwell. This is how you picture a mighty king. But here, not a place to lay his head would he give to the hero of Israel. The chorus says, these weary, heavy laden are your misfit kingdom. No strength and virtue do we bring, but we make straight the way for you to bear our shame in an humble coronation as our king. Surely a king would close his heart to a foe, bear arms against them with his name upheld. But arms nailed and open left the full heart exposed in the hero of Israel. We deserve to be cast into outer darkness, but that's not what this king did. This king offered us to be in his kingdom. These weary, heavy laden are your misfit kingdom. No strength and virtue do we bring, but we make straight the way for you to bear our shame and in the humble coronation as our king. Surely a cross would signal helpless defeat. Christ, king rejected, lifted high, you fell. But all at the cross's foot now all, everyone, at the cross's foot now fall at the feet of the hero of Israel. You're the hero of Israel. I think the words of this song are powerful. We've practiced this three times in a new song class. It's on the website if you want to listen to it. We're going to just go through it one time. Highly exalted. This will also only be on the overhead.
Although he was despised or rejected by men, he's been highly exalted.
You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, for you pacified.
Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty.
another section on how it affects me, but we're out of time. So when we consider what Jesus, we're not going to sing songs. I'll just talk about it, and then I'll let Reagan do the invitation. These aren't just a series of facts about Jesus to be considered. This is personal. And it's because of who he is, I know who I am. Ephesians tells us that in him we are redeemed, forgiven, chosen, we're secure. And so what should our response be? Fall down and worship. To lift up our hearts in praise to him. To offer our lives as a living sacrifice to him. That's these facts about Christ are more than mere facts. They are special to those who love him. And we worship him. Reagan's going to sing our lead us in an invitation. And then we will sing another new song that Daniel has taught us in the new song class, Lord, Take Control.
Will you turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians one. We'll start reading in verse 15 here in just a moment, and if you'll turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, be ready in verse 15 because we're just going to kind of jump into that here in just a second. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, get there and be ready. Jesus is all of these things that we've talked about tonight, and I was looking at the qualities of Jesus about which we've sung, as Eric informed me about what the song service would be about tonight, and how impactful the implications of those qualities are for us as human beings. So think about it. God and Creator. How does that impact you and me? We're here because of Him. Through Him we live and move and have our very being. The sun comes up because He empowers it to come up. In Him is life. In Him all things consist. Well, that impacts us all, right? Jesus is crucified. How does that impact us? Well, we're saved because of Him. We learn love and sacrifice and obedience because of Him and what He did. Jesus is King, which means we're citizens because of Him. We have hope for a heavenly kingdom because of Him. And we are led triumphantly into battle against the foes we cannot defeat because of Him. And seemingly least impactful is that Jesus is man, and yet we're fully known because of Him. He empathizes with us. But I want to focus for just a couple more minutes, and I want you to consider the impact of this life of this man, God who became man, that shows us that He is more than man because of that impact. What is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Normally, a man's influence wanes in the years or centuries after his death, even the most influential of men on earth. But Jesus has more followers today by many multiplied thousands than the ragtag group that remained after his death. And his influence was greater 100 years after his death, and greater than still after 500 years, and even greater still after 2,000 years since his death. Today, a third of the world's population, over 2.5 billion people, claim to be Christians. Almost 70% of Americans self-identify as Christians. Even Islam reveres Jesus as a prophet. Jesus' life was only 33 years. His ministry, 10% of that. And yet, he is the preeminent personality in all of history. Our calendar is calculated by his birth, AD and BC, right? The year of our Lord and before Christ. That is now BCE and CE, before Common Era and Common Era. And it always reminds me of this goose meme, right? When did the Common Era start? When did the Common Era start? It started at Jesus' birth. What is the Common Era? It's the era of Jesus, the Christian era. His time is his, and we calculate our time by him. Ridley Scott, the atheist and famous movie director, made Jesus an advanced alien sent to Earth to elevate mankind, who was ultimately killed by them in his alien movie franchises. Why? Because even as the atheist, he realized that no mere man could have had the kind of impact that Jesus had. Buddha, Muhammad, even Abraham and Moses, they all fall short. And there's a poem that I love to read, don't have time to read it tonight, called One Solitary Life. And that poem ends in talking about all of the ways in which Jesus doesn't appear to be extraordinary. It ends by saying, 19 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. There is a sense in which all of that impact is detached and impersonal. That's impact on the world as creator, king, crucified, and man. And then there is a sense in which all of that impact is nothing compared to how he can impact you and your life personally. That he came to save your soul. And so he can change your life. That he has gone on to prepare a place for you to go and be with him eternally. Jesus has made impact. And whether you were born or not, he would have made impact. Whether you accept him or not, he has made impact. But the impact he can make on your life starting tonight cannot be undersold. So if you are willing to submit to this man who was more than a man, who was creator and king crucified for you, your life can be changed. If you'll come now and submit yourself to him while together we stand and while we sing.
My heart.